Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We're holding the top line on the Amud, where the Mishnah yesterday told us about a number of outstanding individuals that did wonderful things, especially in reference to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the Mishnah said about all of them, Vayumaskirin, Oysan Lishvach, they all deserve accolades and deserve praise for their activities. So the final one that we brought in the Mishnah was Nicanor. Woe is Nicanor, Nasu Nisim Lidal Soysev. As we know, the doorway into the Azara, from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Yisrael, that doorway had special doors, and that was called the Shai Nicanor, because the doors were purchased by Nicanor in Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, and as we'll see in the Gemara, major miracles occurred. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Second line from the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Ma Nisim Nasal Dal Soysev. What are these Nisim that you're talking about in the Mishnah? What miracles? Amru. Kishaolach Nicanor Lahavi Dalosois. May Alexander Shal Mitzrayim. Nicanor went all the way to Alexander Shal Mitzrayim to purchase these special doors. Bechazi Rosoi, as he returned. Of course, at those times they didn't have airplanes. So to travel back, he had to go on a boat. Amud Olav Nachshoil Shebiyam Letovai. So a major tidal wave from the Yam came and wanted to go and turn over the boat and sink it. Not lo achas mehen. So the sailors on the boat decided to lighten up the freight on the boat. They took one of the two dalsais, one of the two doors, and they tilu the yam and they threw it overboard into the sea. Unfortunately, that didn't help, and there were still major tidal waves. His bikshul hatl es chaverta. They wanted to go and throw out the second one as well. Amad Hus and Nicanor, who was very determined and very moist and nefesh, the Korcha, and he put his arms around it, hugging the second door, and Amulahem, Hitiluni ima, if you're going to throw out the door, you're going to have to throw me as well, because I'm not leaving and not budging from this door. Miyad, as a result, Nochayom, Mizafoy, that moment, the Yam stopped being so furious, and things cooled off. But of course, Vayim Mitzar Al Chaverta. But Nicanor was very upset that he lost one of the two doors. Kim Shigiel and Amalei Shel Akoi, as soon as they arrived at the Namal, at the port of Akoi, Hoisa Mivatzvetzes V'yoyitz Mitachas V'fani Hasvina. As the people are getting off the boat, they noticed, hey, look at that. In the water, on the side of the Svina of the boat, there was nothing other than the second door that had been thrown over miles and miles before. V'yesh oimen, beriyah shebiyam belosa, v'hekiyosu yabosha. Some say that there was some sort of special sea monster of some sort that went and was bolea, swallowed up the entire door, v'hekiyosu yabosha, and then spit it out on the yabosha, on the dry land, as they arrived in Akkoi. V'yoleh amash loimen, about this one can touch the posik, which states in Tanakh, Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Koyrois Batenu Arozim Rehitenu Beroisim. How does it work? Taishir Altikri Beroisim Ela Bris Yam. That it was as if a treaty made between the Yam and between Nicanor, or between the Beis HaMikdash or Kodesh Baruch Hu, that these doors would be saved, and therefore the Yam made sure that the doors in fact were saved. Rashi points out that the word Rehitenu is a Lashon Delis, Rashi on the right hand side in the middle, Lashon Delis, Shehu Rot V'Noil Rot U'Poiseach. We find that the word Rohat in Targum Lashon means to run. Here Rehitenu, which today in Eretz Yisrael they use the term Rehitim for furnishings, like furniture. So what is a Rehitenu over here? So Rashi says, because a door also quickly closes and quickly opens, especially if you have a hinge. It closes very quickly. So that's how it got the name Rehitenu. And then the next Rashi, Ela Brisyam Ki Ilu Korsu Bris Zu Im Zu V'yesh Oimim Berias Yam. So according to the first Pshat, it's a bris, it's a treaty between the Yam and, I guess, Nicanor or Kodesh Baruch Hu, to make sure that these doors would be saved. According to the second Pshat, Berias Yam means that barrier that we spoke about, this sea creature that went and swallowed up the door and now went and regurgitated the door by a basha. So that's the, not brisyam, but briasyam. Back to the Gemara Lefichach, and therefore the first wide line, kol ha'sha'orim sheiv ha'mikdash nishtanu liyos shalzov. Eventually when Klal Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash got wealthier. They had more money in their coffers. They invested to go and upgrade the infrastructure. And therefore, a lot of things which started off from rather poor quality items, eventually they went and replaced them with gold items. Chutz Mishari Nikna, except for the doorway for the gates of Nikonar Menishah Nasa Poydisim. Since these were so special, they were miraculous doors, they didn't want to touch them, they didn't go and change them. V'yesh Amrim other same nation, Chushtan Mutzevis. It wasn't even necessary to go and change it, because you just said now that all the other items of Beis Hamikdash were eventually changed and substituted with new gold items. So here it wasn't necessary, because the Nechoshis, the copper of the Nicanor doors, was so beautiful that it shone almost as if it was gold. In fact, Chosher Blazim and Yaakov, Oyim Nechoshis Klunisa Hoysa. This was not just your regular Nechoshis, this was Nechoshis Klunisa. Rashi says Klunisa means Mizukekes, meaning very, very well refined copper. As well as Rashi says, V'chein Shem Min Nechoshis, V'un Nechoshis Kol. So this is a very, very special. It's not only that this is triple A top quality Nechoshis, but because it was such top quality, it got a special name. People didn't go and say, I want to have just good quality Nechoshis. They said, I want Nechoshis Klunisa. And everybody knew that that was, you know, the best of the best.
Exhaust Sagur that we had earlier with the gold that was so good it closed all the other goldsmith shops.
Exactly right. And it shone as if it was gold, and therefore they left them, they didn't go and switch. So in the previous Mishnah we listed a whole bunch of outstanding individuals that did wonderful things, and about them the Mishnah will say shortly, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, on all of those wonderful things that they did. Starting with Rabshu ben Gamla and ben Kotin and Hilya Malka and Munviz and Nicanor, they all did wonderful things. However, the Ilignai, our Mishnah now is unfortunately going to list a number of mishpachas and individuals that the Gemara does not look favorably upon. And we learned all of this, by the way, back in the Sechta Shkolim, so this is rather simple and straightforward. Ilignai shall be Zgarmu l'rotzu l'amin al-masa lechem haponim. The Beis Garmu were in charge of making the lechem upon them every week, so that they'd have fresh lechem upon them that they would put on the shulchan from week to week. And we'll see in the Gemara why they were lignai. Similarly, shall Beis Avtinis leirotzu lamed amasek toyus. So both the Beis Garmu, who were experts in the Maisa Lechem upon him, and the Beis Avtinis, who were experts in the Maisa toyus, neither of them wanted to go and teach the trade to anyone else. They wanted to keep a monopoly on these matters. Hugras ben Levi ha'yedea perik b'shir, he was knew how to go and sing very, very beautifully. He didn't want to teach others his techniques, the way he was able to go and sing so beautifully. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how he was able to sing so beautifully. Ben Kamta leirotzel lamed al ma'isa haksav. Ben Kamta was able to go and take four pens at one time and write four oisiois at one time. And therefore this was considered to be, wow, this is so special. In fact, Rashi says that he was even able to write Hashem's name, Yudke Vovke, all at one time, putting four pens between his four fingers, and he went back and forth, all simultaneously. Anyway, he didn't want to teach that as well. About the Rishonim, it says, Rishonim means the previous Mishnah that we learned yesterday, that these are all tzaddikim and they should all be benched. The Al Eilu Nemar, but on the list that we just had in our Mishnah, of Beis Karma, Beis Avtinas, etc., we say about them, Beshem Rishonim Yirkav. Both of these expressions, Zecher Tzadik Levracha and B'Shem Rishonim Yirkav, are both in the same pasuk in Mishlei. So the first part of the pasuk says that tzaddikim should all be avenged, and the Rishonim's name should all be Yirkav, should all rot. And we'll talk about that further in a while. Says Yimar, Tanurban, Beis Karmo Yibikim Masa Lechem Uponim, they were experts in making Lechem Uponim. Remember, Lechem Uponim was not just baking a bread or baking a challah. These were very, very special breads, if you will, because they had to be made in such a special way. This Kementeva Perutza, you see the pictures in the art scroll, Chumashim, etc., that it was open up in the middle, you were able to go and see through, and the two sides were folded over. You have a picture here too?
Oh, small, but...
Oh, it's beautiful. So we have now Ed is showing us a picture in his art scroll Gemara, and here too the flaps on the two sides of the bread were folded over, but they weren't folded over to the extent that the two met. Rather, there was a space in between to be able to see through. Anyway, very, very special. So they were bakim being able to go and create this lechem upanim, leirotzu lelamed, and they didn't want to teach anybody else. Shochu chachamim, the chachamim got very upset with the base karma, that they didn't want to share this expertise, and they said, you know what? Who needs the base karma? We'll go and get replacements. They view Umnin min Alexandria Shemitzrayim. Apparently Alexandria was the major industrial city at that time. We see from the Talksis Nicanor that came from Alexandria Shemitzrayim. Apparently this was the capital of all Chochmah.
Technology. Also the animals that they bred there were superior.
Yeah, exactly. So you could see that this was a major, major capital of the world at that time. So they brought Umnin, they brought special experts in baking from Alexander Shomatraim. But Yoydin Lafis Kamoisin, they knew exactly how to go and bake, just like the base caramel. However, Yoydin Lirdois Kamoisin. However, they didn't know how to go and remove the lechem upon him from the tanner, like the base karma was able to do. Shehalol masikim b'chutz, bo'ifim b'chutz, v'alol masikim b'fnim, v'oifim b'fnim. The second part, v'alol masikim b'fnim, v'oifim b'fnim, is referring to the base karma, that they were able to go and bake these special breads within a tanner, and they would go and warm it up naturally, and would bake it, and it came out beautifully. However, the Alexandria people, they weren't able to do it, and they had to go and literally, our Gemara says that they heated up the tanner from the outside, and they baked from the outside. That's a little bit difficult to understand. To go and bake from the outside, that we can understand, because as you know, when it comes to baking, especially in the good old days, they didn't have trays like we have today, but rather they used to go and attach the challah, in this case the lechem upanim, to the walls of the tanner, and therefore you can go and attach it to the outside of the tanner, just like you can attach it to the inside walls of the tanner, because both of them are hot. The masikim b'chutz is a little bit difficult. How are you going to heat up the tanner from the outside? So in fact, the me'iri is takagoyris, masikim b'fnim b'oifim b'chutz. Yes, they too also heated up the tanner from the inside, and they baked the bread from the outside. The reason why they had to bake it from the outside was because since they were not bucky in the Maiser Adia, in removing the bread, they were afraid that when they're going to try to remove it from the oven, either it was going to be too hard or too soft. In other words, it wouldn't be done properly, and it would be difficult to remove it from the walls of the oven. So that's why they baked it from the outside. The Gemara on the surface is a little bit difficult, because Rashi and Chumash tells us that when it says by the Shulchan that they had ke'orois, that they had kemin defusim, which means that they baked the lechem upon them in special forms, in special pans. So they really weren't attached to the walls of the tanner itself. So maybe what the Gemara is saying is they weren't so familiar with how to work out with these pans, and therefore they had it attached to the outside. But the base karmel were able to do it inside. And I saw one of the Mefarshim says that although it's true that the lechem upanim on one side of the lechem upanim it was within these pans, but it was attached to the wall from the second side. In other words, one side of the lechem upanim was in these type of special molds, pans, tefusim, but the other side was attached, in fact, to the wall of the tanner. And the people from Alexandria, when they would try to remove it, it would fall apart, because it wasn't your normal bread. And therefore, what did they do? They went and baked it from the outside walls, which presumably was easier then to remove, than to be able to monitor it. As a result, halolu pita misapeshes, halolu ein pita misapeshes. When we're talking about the Alexandria people, their pas unfortunately did not last. Misapeshes means it got bad, it went moldy, it spoiled. Halolu, but the one that was baked by the base garmo, ein pita misapeshes, they did a beautiful job and everything was great. Yeshama Chachamadavan, Chacham heard about all this, Amru, Kol Masha Baruch Rishbaruch Lechvoydei Baroi. The fact that Rishbaruch gave this special Chachma to the base Karmel people shows that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created this Chachma especially for this purpose, to be able to go and bake the Lechem upon him properly so that it should be good, etc. Shnema, Kol Nikra Bishmi, Lechvoydei Barosim, and Pasuk is another something asisiv. Yeah, yitzar tevav asisiv, which means everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he created v'shmoy lechvoydoy. It should be for his glory, for his honor, and in particular these lechem upon him, that they should be glorious and majestic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this special chokhmah to Beis Karmel and didn't share with anybody else. Because of Beis Karmel the Koyman, and therefore the Chacham said, we better reinstall and reinstate the Beis Karmel to their former positions. They said sayonara to the Alexander Shemitzroyim people, sent them home, and the Beis Karmel took back their positions. However, Shochlam Chachamim, the Chachamim went and asked them, no, please get back to your posts in the Beis Hamikdash, and they didn't come. Why? Because they wanted to get an increase in salary. It's Kafalem Scharam, so the Chacham said, you know what, we're going to double your salary. Ubo, and then they came. What was the previous salary? Previously they used to receive 12 mana. Vayoyim, and now because they doubled the salary, now it's Esrim V'arba, 24 mana. The Yehudah Mechol Yoyim, until now it was Esrim V'arba, 24. Vayoyim Arba Mishmoyim, now it's 48. So that's a big, big rise in salary.
Is that per week?
It says in Mar B'chol Yom, so I'm assuming B'chol Yom means the day that they had to bake it, which was the Friday, and they baked it for Shabbos. Otherwise, from Sunday through Thursday, they didn't have to do anything. I'm assuming they didn't have a major secret formula that they had to work on it for 7 days. Anyway,
Mana, we're talking about 100 Jews.
Mana is 100 Jews, that's correct.
Which is
a lot of money. That's why they worked for a better price, a better alternative. Also, they were salted.
If you remember, we had in the earlier Mishnah a couple of days ago that the two sets of big day loven that they made for the Yom Kippur, according to the higher man, means Kohen Chachamim, were together 30 mana. And here we're talking about that was once a year. Here we're talking about every single week, at least 12 to 24 to 48 mana. So you can see that that's a considerable amount.
Yeah.
Why don't you want to teach it? For goodness sake, teach it. We have a Kabbalah in our family. Unfortunately, this base of English eventually is going to be destroyed. We're afraid that someone who is not a Hogan, someone who's not worthy, is going to learn this Chachmah. And then in the churches and in the temples and all the rest, they're going to start serving their gods and their statues with using this type of lecha upon him. And therefore, because of that, we made sure to keep it as a secret. Even though, in general, the Chacham were not happy with the Beis Karmel, and apparently they didn't accept their answer, but nevertheless, in one respect, they gave them covet. That is, that when the Beis Karmel's children would walk the streets and go to school or go home, whatever, they made sure not that they shouldn't be holding in their hands pasnachia, really refined bread of the highest quality. Shloyimus, that people who would see these children of the Beis Karmel shouldn't say about them, we know exactly what they're carrying in their hands. They're carrying this pasnakiyah because it's a byproduct from the lechem upon them that the Beis Karmel made in the Beis Mikdash. Kai mashenemar, like it said in the post, v'isim nekiyah meshem Yisrael. Make sure that there shouldn't even be a perception of impropriety. Therefore, that's why it says that they made sure that the children shouldn't have pasnakiyah, that there shouldn't be this false perception. So now the Gemara repeats the whole story, came out word for word. They were in charge of Maisa Ktoiris. You remember we had in the previous parak that the Kohen Gadol, the entire week, part of the time he was in the Beis Haftinas, learning exactly how to do the Maisa Ktoiris, the Chafinas Ktoiris for Yom Kippur. Tana Rabbanim, Beis Haftinas, so he became a Maisa Ktoiris. They were a great sabaki in the Maisa Ktoiris. The whole formula of all of the different samamonim, the different spices that you had to mix together, and in particular, they were bekiyim in the spice which was called the mala oshan. Mala oshan was a special spice that you put in that made the oshan, oshan is referring to the smoke, should go directly overhead and shouldn't disperse to the sides. So we have seen as a bekiyim a masek. They didn't want to teach it. What they didn't want to teach is they didn't want to go and show which one of the asavim, which one of the spices, which one of the grasses is that mala oshin that causes the oshin to go straight up. Once again, the same thing as before. They called in artisans and experts in incense from Alexandria. And they knew exactly what formula to put together of all the different spices so that it would replicate the Torah, like it says in the Torah. However, they weren't able to go and have the oshan, the smoke, go directly overhead. So halolu mitamer v'oila kimakel, the one that was produced by the base of Tinas, there the oshan went straight up to Shemaim, like a makel, like a rod, like an erect rod. Shehalo, however, of the Alexandria, mafzir lekan lekan, as soon as the smoke would leave the Mizbeach, it started dispersing in all directions, started scattering. When the Chum realized it, they said, similar to what we said before, therefore, this is Hashem's intention. He gave this special Chochmah to the base of Tinas, and that's why these Alexandria Shomitzrayim people cannot replicate what they were able to do. Because the Beis Haftinus were claimants, the Beis Haftinus were summoned to return. Shochel hem chachavim, v'leibo, initially they didn't want to come. Kofel hem scharim, so once again they doubled their salary. V'bo, and then they came. V'chol yem enoik v'shnei mosem v'ana, v'yem esu v'abo, until now it's 12, and now it's 24. V'yudayim v'chol yem esu v'abo, until now it's 24. V'yem v'abo mishmoy, now it's 48. Amrim chachavim, mar yisir shalei l'lamid, why didn't you want to teach? Amru Yodno Yeshua Beisaba, we have a Mesoira, a Kabbalah in our family home, in our family. Shabbai Zeh Osid Lechorib. Unfortunately, this house eventually is going to become Chorib, and it'll be destroyed. Amru Shem Yumet Odom Shein Mokhugim, Yed of Yavad Avoy Zerichom, Bekach. We're afraid that somebody is going to try to replicate this same Avoyda with the same Oshem, the same incense, in the churches, exactly the same way, and therefore we didn't want this to get out. Even the Chacham were generally upset with them, but one thing they said favorably about the Beis Haftinas, and what was that? That any kala of their homes would not go out in the street with perfume. What happens if they didn't have the girls? They had boys, and the boys were getting married to women from other mishpachos. So when they would go and marry a woman from another family, from another place, masim ima, they made a special condition, shleitz basim, that they're entering into this family, they're never allowed to go in public with perfume. Shleyoimru, that people shouldn't go and say masik toiris misbasmin, that they are adorning themselves with this perfume from the masik toiris. Akam hashemah v'isam nikiyah mehashem umi yisrael. I think Robert has a question.
Yes, it says that they were paid on a daily basis, but the lechem aponim was once
was every day,
once a week.
We're going back to lechem aponim.
It was compounded, I think, twice a year, was it not? They made the manas for once a year, and then they had leftovers.
Presumably, by the lechem aponim, when it said that they got paid for the day, presumably was for Friday's work, because they only baked once a week on Fridays for Shabbos. Our good friend Brother Shai says they didn't have to compound every day because they used to go make 368 manim for the year. But nevertheless, whenever they did it, and presumably throughout the year, they had to check on it, make sure that it didn't, you know, none
stable.
Of it. That was still stable, none of it got sour, none of it got lost, make sure the Mala Oshin was still working. I mean, I'm sure that during the year they also were busy from time to time, even though initially they did it apparently all in one allotment. Anyway, Tanya Amar Bishmol. Yeah, Shkoyach. So Bishmol says, one time I was walking on the road, and I met one of their Einiklach, one of their children, presumably from the base of Tinas. Amar Tilay, your fathers, they wanted to be marbe in their own covenant, their own honor, that everybody should say, oh, see the base of Tinas, they are experts, they are the sole exclusive experts in Klal Yisrael, in the world, that know how to go and formulate the Ketoidus so beautifully in the Mala Oshan. And they didn't want to share this with others, so therefore, in a sense, they were diminishing or decreasing the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now, unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod still remains intact, even though today, when Rabbi Yishmael is speaking, the Beis HaMikdash is never already choruv, but Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Koymai, wherever Kadosh Baruch Hu is, his kavod is with him, like we say in the Twilas, Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Koymai. So Hashem's honor is still intact. Be it Kvodam, however, the Beis Haftinas now, they have nothing to do. They're basically unemployed, if you will, because they're no longer able to command these types of top dollar salaries or top mona salaries in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Bekiva, Sachle Rishwal ben Luga. Rishwal ben Luga one time told me, what did he tell me? The Pam Achas Yot Sasi. Rishwal ben Luga says, one time I went out, Ani, I went out, and one of the Einiklach from the Beis Aftinas, we were both walking out and going into the field, and we were collecting together some greens for Isi, and I saw, instead of Shesochak Ubocha, Shebocha Besochak, I saw that this Einiklach from the Beis Aftinas, he initially was crying, then after that he was smiling. Why are you crying? I remember the kavod that our family used to have, the Zaydis and the Elta Zaydis. We were held in the highest esteem. So why are you smiling now? Because eventually, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to return us. He's going to return the Beis HaMikdash to us, and he's going to return us to our place of great honor in the Beis HaMikdash to continue manufacturing and putting together the formula of the incense. We're now out in the garden, out in the field. Pink, this moment, you remembered all of this, and you started crying and started smiling. Amalei said, because Mala Oshin Kenegdi, because I see in front of me, there, here in the field, Mala Oshin. That's that special spice that you put in that causes the Oshin to go straight up Kimakia. I'm sorry?
Secret
spice. A secret spice. Since I saw it, as soon as I saw it, it reminded me of my deep inner feelings of first Bechia of crying and then of sorrow, and then after that I smiled. So he said to him, can you do me a favor? Please show it to me. Amalisi told him, we have a vow, we have a shvua in our family. We won't show it to anybody. So this youngster, this Mebnei Benem, he would not show what the secret spice was. One time I met and one of the elder individuals, one of the senior citizens from the Beis Haftinas, Umegilas Samamana Biyod, and he was holding in his hand the book of the incense. Rashi says specifically that it had Ksuvim Ba Shemois Samani Haktaris. All the names of the spices of the Haktaris, of course, the names of the spices are already in the Chumash and in the Siddur. However, what he means to say is what each one means. Because even though we have the article definition, but who knows whether that's exactly accurate. So, and presumably in the right proportions, in the Mala Oshin. Where are you coming from? This Rabbi Yechim Anuri was approached by the Zaken Echad, who was holding this Megillah of the Samamanim, all the secret formula in his hands. He said, where are you coming from, Amali? Or what family? Amali Beis Aftinas, and I come from Beis Aftinas. What are you holding in your hand? Amali Megillah Samamanim. I'm holding a Megillah of Samamanim. Hereoli, and he showed it to me. Amali, so Hereoli means I asked him to show it to me. Amali, so he responded, I want you to know, Kol Zman Shebeis Avoh Yekiyam, as long as the Beis Haftinas was still intact, a chosh of a family, as we saw from our Gemara, we wouldn't share it with anybody, not even with you, Rabbi Yochanan Ben-Nuri. The Afshav, however, today, Hariyu Lecha, unfortunately, the remaining members of the family are few and far between, and unfortunately not all of them are reliable. I'm afraid to leave it because it's going to come out into the world, and we have the chashash that they said before that the goyim are going to use this in their churches. Therefore, I'm handing it over to you, Vizorba, but go and be careful, make sure that this is not shared or revealed to anybody else. It shouldn't be disclosed. Ukishabasi Mesachti, Tvarai Lefnei Rabbi Kiva, says Rabbi Yechmanuri, when I told this whole story in front of Rabbi Kiva, Amali Rabbi Kiva said, Meyatav, from now on, Oser Lesaber Beginusin Shel Elu, even though throughout the years, throughout the generations, everybody said about them, like it says in the Mishnah, the Shem Rishon Yirkov, we have to take it back, because they're really erlich, they really are sincere, they didn't want this to be shared with the Ummaisu Elam. Based on a story like this, Ben Azai quoted, "Bishimcha yikra'ucha uvimkoimcha yoshivucha." What does that mean? Let's take a look at the Rashi on the left hand margin. Mikan Omar Ben Azai, this is six lines before the end of the Rashi, is on the left hand side. Mimaisa beis garmu ubeis avtinas. The Chachamim wanted to go and push them away from their positions in the Beit HaMikdash and to import the experts and artisans and the bakers from Alexander Shom Mitzrayim, but they weren't able to replace them. A person should never have the worry or concern that Ploini yikapeach panasasi, that Ploini is going to take away my parnasa. Ki al korchach b'shem yikra'ucha lovay v'losha b'mkoymcha. Because against your will, in other words, no matter what you do, if Hashem is giving you siyata d'shmaya and He's providing you with parnasa, b'shem yikra'ucha, they're going to go and call you. They're not going to call the competitor. They're going to retain your telephone number and your email address, and they'll know to go and call you and know where you live and know where the office is, and they know the telephone number. They're going to call you by name. That's the Russian here at the bottom. Mikan. So the Mikan is not from the last part of the story, but it's from the earlier part of the story, that the Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim experts could not replicate what the Beis Carmel and the Beis Avtinas were doing. They're going to call you by name, Beis Carmel, Beis Avtinas, and you're going to be reinstated to your former position. And from what belongs to you, you're going to receive. Top Rashi once again, you're not going to receive any money from the competitors, from someone else. Whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu has set up at the beginning of the year, you're going to make in this year, this in this salary, that's what you're going to get. A person doesn't get what was set aside for his chaver, he gets what a Kadosh Baruch Hu sets aside for him. And similarly, when one malchus is about to end, one kingdom is about to end, a new kingdom is about to start, there is no overlap even for 1 second, even for one hair. In other words, when this one ends, the new one begins a moment later. So, similar to this type of story. Okay, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Hukras ben Levi was able to go and sing. And it, sorry? What means Perek? Perek Bashir. Now, Perek Bashir doesn't mean a chapter in song. Rashi said Perek means Hachroas Koil Ne'ima. He was able to go and manipulate his voice in such a way that it came out really, really beautiful. And even though it says the Mishnah Hukras Ben Levi, sounds like his father's name was Levi, Rashi said Ben Levi means he was Min HaLevi, and he was from the Shevet Levi. In other words, his name was Hukras, his father's name twice was Moshe, was Yehuda, whatever. It's called Hukras Ben Levi because he was from the Shevet of Levi. We had that once, about 2 years ago. We had someone coming here into our Beis Medrash, and he got an Aliyah, and he was the classic, the Rainbow Coalition. What means Rainbow Coalition? He was all, exactly. He was all three in one. His name was, I'm probably going to misquote it, but it was something like Yamoid Rabbi Yisrael Ben Levi HaKoyen. His name was Yisrael, his father's name was Levi, and he was a Koyen. Something similar to that. Maybe it was Levi Ben Yisrael HaKoyen.
But he got that would be a big difference. First name on the list.
For sure. But the point is that he was Gans Klai Yisrael, one individual, that his name was Yisrael, and Levi, he was a Koyen.
Right.
So here too, Hugras was Ben Levi, not necessarily, you don't call him up Ben Levi, it was Hugras Ben.
Hugras, it sounds Greek.
Or Hungarian. So Hugras Ben, Moshe HaLevi, or whatever. Okay, time. Kishu Noisim Koyla Ben Ima, when he wanted to go and sing very beautifully, Machnes Gudloi,
thumb in the mouth.
He put the thumb inside the mouth, and Meniach and Zboi.
Doesn't work.
That's why your name is not mentioned in the Mishnah. Anyway, Machnas Gudloi Tech Pivi would put his thumb in his mouth. Umeniach Etzboi Bein Hanimen. Rashi said Bein Hanimen means the strands of hair in his mustache underneath his nose. So he was able, if you look at the Rashi, third of the narrow lines, Bein Hanimen, Bein Chalikas Nimas Hasafa, or Hasapa, that's the mustache. He put his fingers in between the hairs of the mustache, neged mechitzas hachotem, where the chotem ends, where the nose ends, and then underneath that you have that shtikl mechitza, that where the malach went and pushed it when the person was born. Anyway, bottom line is he was able to go and manipulate his fingers in such a way that it was a beautiful coil. There's another pshat that Beina Neiman is not referring to the hairs of his mustache, but at the same time he put his finger into his mouth, he was also able to play the harp or the violin at the same time.
Jews even
means the strands of the harp or
not the Jews harp.
Not the Jews harp. I'm not sure what a Jews harp is.
Whatever. You put in your mouth and you actually pluck something. It's like a metal, not a string, but a metal.
Okay.
Western music.
Jaws harp, Jews harp.
Okay, I was not familiar with that. But anyway.
It's very high level.
I'm sure. Actually, Echa Bakahanim Niskorim Babasroish Lachirem. The music was so beautiful and it was so amazing, right? The millennials all say it was amazing that all of them, Rashi says, nirsoim. It's as if they were shocked in amazement by Achros HaKol. When they would hear that, they would all kind of move back from the beautiful voice and the beautiful sound.
It's an Echa HaKohanim. If he's a Ben Levi, then it's inconsistent, isn't it?
Kohanim and Levi will come from Sheva Levi, no?
It's an Echa HaKohanim,
it's his second cousins. Tanarban ben kamtzel lirotzel lelamid al maase haksaf. That was the final one that we had in the Mishnah. Ben kamtzel didn't want to go and show how he was able to go and write. How was he able to write? Amru alav, they said about him, she'enoito dalir kulmasin ben etzboisim. He put in four pens between his fingers. And imhoitze tevishul dalir oisis, if it was in fact a word made out of four letters, ha'yakoisva b'basachas, he was able to write all these four letters simultaneously. I seem to remember that when we learned this last machzor, that the Maritz Chayyeh says that it was similar to, he was the one that created the first printing machine. Yeah, Jews harp. Oh, thank you very much. Ed is showing us on the Wikipedia or the Google what a Jews harp looks like. Anyway, so Amrulay, so he was able to go and write four oisis at one time. And my memory serves me correctly, the Maritz Chayyeh says that he was the manufacturer of the first machine to put together four oisis, that were able to all go and print at one time. Is Amrulay, so they asked him, Mar Isa Shloi Lamed, why didn't you go and teach? We saw by the base karma, the base of Sina said, because we don't want to share this formula because it might be abused and misused by the Umosa Olam and future generations in their churches. Ben Kamza the Matsa Chuva the Dvarav. However, he wasn't able to go and find an answer.
Because the lady wasn't challenged, though. They're mentioning the earlier ones.
Presumably, he would have answered the same thing,
yeah.
That we don't want these beautiful... Exactly. Otherwise, it'd have beautiful melodies and church music based on Hugus Ben Levi. Says Ben Kamtzer Uchaberev Nemar Shem Rishon Yirkov. My Shem Rishon Yirkov. How do you define that the name of the Rishon Yirkov is Ratz? What does that mean? Rabbi Lozer Rakvivus Tala Bishmoison Tali Maskina Bishmayu. That because of the effect that they happen to be Rishonim, we are very, very careful not to name our children after one of these Rishonim. So therefore, their names Rat. In terms of historically, that these names are not reused in the future. You don't find too many people today being called Ben Kamtzer, because their name rotted forever and ever. So the Gemara tells us a story, which the Chayre is connected what we just said. Masa Ravina, Maisa B'Doig Ben Yosef, there was a person by the name of Doig Ben Yosef. Doig, as we know, is infamous in Tanakh. He was Doig Vadoimi. He was the one that spearheaded the destruction of Noiv Er Kahanim and the killing of all the Kahanim in Noiv. Anyway, so this young fellow was called Doig Ben Yosef. Shenichi Oved Ben Katan Le'imai. Apparently his father passed away early in life, and so therefore this child was Nebuch a Yosem to his mother. His mother was very, very firm, very erlich, very sincere, and what she did was she used to go and measure him every day to see whether he has increased in height. Whenever she would see that he has increased in height, even if it's a slight amount, she would give that amount mishko in weight in Zohav, mm-hmm. as a donation to the base of Mikdash. So when it says means that against the wall it was probably notches that showed how tall he was, and the measurement was not in inches, but it was in tvach. And that's the amount that she gave every time there was an increase. Ukshagobar oyev, and unfortunately when the enemies came and they unfortunately conquered, Tavchosoy Vyochlosoy Nebuch, she went and shechted her own son and she ate him. Valea couldn't hear me about that. Yirmi writes in his Pasuk in Tanakh, in Techalna Noshim Piriam Oile Tipuchim. Oile Tipuchim normally means these are the youngsters, the babies, the infants, tipucha, that are being raised by their mommies. Here, however, the Gemara goes in Darshan's oile tefachim, that these were young babies that were measured by their mommies in tefachim, in their height, like we just said, moedidosim tefachim. So what do we see? Meshiva ruach kodesh v'imeres. Em yehorig b'miktash Hashem koyim enovi. What does the Gemara mean to say? In the very same pasuk which we just quoted now, that's number two here. Rei Hashem v'abita l'mi oylalta koi imtichalna noshim piriam oylaiti puchim im yehorig b'mikdash aveshem koihin v'navi. What the Gemara is telling us is, what's the reason why Nebuch, that the oyev was miskaber, and Nebuch, there was such a famine in the land that this mother, who was otherwise obviously very righteous, very religious, and very gracious and generous, Nebuch, that she got to the point that she went and cut up her own child and ate him, is because Nebuch, of the lawlessness that prevailed, that caused Nebuch the killing of Koyin Venovi. Who's the Koyin Venovi that we're referring to? We're referring to Zechariah HaKoyin, who was in the Beis HaMikdash, and unfortunately he was killed. And Rashi brings Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKoyin, and you'll recall that in the Masechtas Gittin, which we learned on Tisha B'Av, it tells us that the blood of Zechariah was bubbling on the floor in the Azara, to the point that whoever took over Spasianus, whoever came over and defeated the Yidden and took over the Beis HaMikdash, saw this bubbling blood, and he said, what's this all about? So one of the Kohanim said, oh, it must be the blood from a carbon, which is on the floor, isn't it? And they went and checked it out, and he said, this does not look like the blood of any of the Kabbalists, and it looks like it's human blood, and therefore to avenge that, he started killing Yidden, and the Gemara says he killed hundreds of thousands, until finally a Kol came out and said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're not going to let any of the Jews remain. Then the Kodesh Baruch Hu relented, and it stopped. Anyway, it's because of this terrible incident with Zechariah, Rashi says, that he was killed, Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, because of that, unfortunately, the Oyvim, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, were able to go and conquer Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, etc., and cause this terrible famine, and cause Nebuch, this woman, to go and shecht her own child. So says the Gemara, so what's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is, you just said a moment ago, that Shem Rishon Yirkov, that you don't allow for these names to be present among Klal Yisrael because they're rotten. Rakvivis Tala Bishmoisav, Dulim Maskin Bishmai, that these names are not going to be used to name Jewish children. And look what happened, that this Mr. Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, called his son Doeg, after Doeg Gordomi, or not necessarily after him, but had the same name as Doeg Gordomi. And you see that they were Masik Bishmai. They did go and give Jewish children the names of Rishoyim, not Shem Rishoyim Yerkov. Everything Gemara, Nuchazim Aisolevei, look at what his lot was, the Nebuch, look what happened to this young fellow. Nebuch, this infant, was never Gishochtim. So you see that this was a big mistake on the part of this family to go and give him the name Doeg, because unfortunately he had a very untimely fate related to that. And there's a famous Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer writes that the reason why Korach went off the Derech is because, if you look back in Bereishis, you'll find that among the Alufim, among the Mishpacha of Esav, one of them is Aluf Koirach. And therefore, the father of Koirach, and no, Yitzhar, should not have named his son Koirach. And because of that, unfortunately, he went Letar Besorah, he went off the Derech.
Where was the original Korach?
The original Korach is Aluf, if you want to think of it. Aluf Eisav. You see the Aluf, Nachas, Aluf Miz, Aluf Korach, Aluf, a whole bunch of Alufim of Eisav. Getting back to our Gemara, Zokti Mor Vaitam Reb Lozer. Okay, from here to almost the bottom of the Amud, we have several Maimorim, several members of Reb Lozer.
Are those
Reb
Taz?
Presumably, I'm assuming that this is an Amora, and that you'll see about all of them. They're all kind of related, and all memorim of the same, memories of the same maniama. Amr Blasim, Tzadik Mi'atzmoi V'Rosh Mechaveroi. What does that mean, Tzadik Mi'atzmoi V'Rosh Mechaveroi? Rashi says, a Tzadik becomes well known as a Tzadik through his Ma'asim, through his own acts. People say, oh, Chofetz Chaim is a Tzadik. People knew about his acts of righteousness. V'Rosh Mechaveira, a Rosh very often is called a Rosh, not necessarily because of his own act, but because of the company that he holds, that his friends are Rishoyim, and therefore he gets branded as a bad guy, as a hooligan, because of the people with whom he associates. Tzadik Mi'atzmoi D'Chsev Zecher Tzadik Livrocha Loshen Yochid. V'Rosh Mechaveiroi D'Chsev V'Shem Rishoyim Yirkav. But this is the very same pasuk. Should say Zecher Tzadik Livracha B'Shem Rasha Yirkav. So the Tzadik becomes a Tzadik from his own Maasim, while the Rasha gets known as being a Rasha, not necessarily from his own bad acts, but because of those with whom he affiliates and associates. Omri Rabbeinu Lehu Meir Rabbanan, Dam Mesader Agadata Kamei. He said to one of the Rabbanan that was being Mesader the Agadata, he said, Mino Hamil to the Omri Rabbanan. How do we know what's the Makar, what's the origin of the famous expression of the Rabbanan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha? So Amalei, why are you asking that? Toksiv, there's a pasuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That's the pasuk we've been quoting all along, back in our Mishnah, pasuk in Mishlei. So what was your shaila? It's the chapasuk. I know that it's a pasuk Mishlei. Mediraiz minolad. Can you bring me a makor in the Torah of Zecher Tzadik Livracha? Ah, he says, yo, Toksiv says in the pasuk, Hashem Omar Amachas Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Oiseh. This is talking about when a Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to go and turn over the Sedoim Va'Moira, and he said, am I going to hide this from Avram Avinu? Now, the pasuk could have stopped over there. I'm going to tell Avram what my intentions are. But right after it says, Avram, why was it necessary to mention this? Because Zecher Tzadik, since the pasuk is talking about Avram, we immediately say, and you know who Avram was? Oh, Avram was the great Tzadik that when the Chanech is doer, that they should all be tzaddikim and erlechayim, etc. The Avram hoya yil and goy godel the otzim and nivruchu voy kol goye yoretz. So we see how great Avram Avinu was. We mention that because Zecher Tzadik, you mention a tzaddik. Bracha, you mention how blessed he is and how others are blessed through him. Then he asked, you know, I'm milti the Omer Rabban Hashem Yisharm Yirkav. What's the makor? What's the origin? The source for that? It says in the same passage. Now, with the rice minol, what does it say in the Torah? Ah, the chesiv yel ad sedoim. The anshe sedoim run v'chatoim l'Hashem mi'oid. We're talking about, I think, by Loit, if I'm not mistaken, that Loit was living the Bari Akika v'yel, and he had tents going all the way to Sedoim. So he could have stopped over there. Okay, we know where Sedoim was and finished. No, no, we got to tell you, anshe sedoim, those were bad guys. So when you mention Shem Rishoyim, Yirkav, you're ready. Add to it how these people are rough. Omer Blozer, Tzadik Dor Bein, again Omer Blozer, Tzadik Dor Bein Shnei Rishoyim, V'leilom Maseim, Rosh Dor Bein Shnei Tzadik, V'leilom Maseim. We find in the Torah an incident of a Tzadik who lived between two Rishoyim and he didn't learn from them. And we find about a Rosh who lived among Tzadikim and he didn't learn from them. Who are these? Tzadik Dor Bein Shnei Rishoyim is referring to V'leilom Maseim, is referring to Oyvadya. Oyvadya lived together with Achav and Izevel. Achav and Izevel are considered to be among the most Rishoyim, Rosha that we find throughout Tanakh. Avadya lived among them, and Avadya was untouched. He remained a tzaddik. Rosha Dor Bein Shnei Tzaddik V'Leilom Maseim is referring to the Esav. Esav, of course, lives with his parents, Rivka, Yitzchak and Rivka. They were both great tzaddikim, and unfortunately, Esav went off the derech. He didn't learn from the derech. The Omer Blazer, in Bichasim Shel Tzaddikim, Atalomet Kalola Lirishoyim, Miklalom Kalosim, Shel Rishoyim, Atalomet Brachla Tzaddikim. And what exactly does that mean? So it's not exactly that you learn one from the other. Rashi teaches it a little bit differently. Rashi, about halfway down the Omen in the Rashis, it's parallel to the third wide line of the Gemara. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu is already talking nicely and saying, "You benched all the tzaddikim," he throws in as well, almost parenthetically, a klala for the Rishon. So back, Amar Blazim, Bechasim Shal Tzaddikim, when you find the Kodesh Baruch Hu is benching the tzaddikim, at the Laman you find always in the same area, klala Rishon, and similarly klala Shal Rishon, at the Laman Baruch Tzaddikim, Kodesh Baruch Hu is cursing the Rishon, and Kodesh Baruch Hu throws in a Baruch of Tzaddikim, Bechasim Shal Tzaddikim, at the Laman klala Rishon, Bechasim. He is dativ. I know about Avram Avinu, the man I shiitzav, his bonum, his basic achrab, the shomer derech Hashem, last it's a dakor mishpat, etc., etc., that Avram Avinu was a great tzad. So Basrei, right after that, says, the Yem Hashem zakas, the Mamoyra ki rabba. Oh, so when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is talking about the tzidkus of Avram Avinu, then he throws in this klola about Stein Vamoyra, how bad these guys are. They are very bad. And then it says, where does Avram come into this whole picture? Since the Kodesh Baruch Hu is talking about Anshes Avraham, that these are bad guys, the Kodesh Baruch Hu now throws in about Avram that he was a good guy, and we give a bracha to him. Because after Van Chase said, Doim Ram Bachatom Hashem Yoid, it says, Hashem Omer Al Avram, Achri Parit Loid Mi'imoy, Son Ha'enech Horeyei, Menemokum Asher Ata Shom, Tzafoyle V'neg V'kev V'yoma, eventually you, Avram Avinu, and your daughters are going to end, they're going to own all of this land, to the north, south, west, east and west, etc. So this was, even though it wasn't necessary, we're talking about the bad guys, we mentioned Avram, from the klala of the Rishoim, bursts out this bracha of tzaddikim. V'yom Rav Loza Nocha Memra, Afil Bishvil Tzaddik Echad Oilam Nivra, Kodesh Baruch Hu would create the whole world just because of one tzaddik. Shenema, V'yar L'kim Esa Oir Ki Toiv, Hashem saw that the light that it was good. It says, Yimar V'ein Toiv Ela Tzaddik. The word Toiv over here doesn't just mean good, it's a reference to tzaddik. Shenema, Imru Tzaddik Ki Toiv. Oh, so I see that, nothing happened. So you see that tzaddik is Toiv, and therefore it says the Pasuk, V'yar L'kim Esa Oir Ki Toiv, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the light of the world, Ki Toiv, because of the tzaddik that's called Taif. The Amr Blaza call him Mishakech Dom Mitamud, a person who forgets part of his learning, Goyim Golos Labanu, he causes his children to go into Golos. Shanimar, I can say in the Bosch Tishkach Toyris Lakecha, you forgot the learning, the Torah of your God, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Eshkach Banecha Gam Oni, I'm going to forget about your children, and they're going to unfortunately have to wander in Golos. I'm not going to take care of them. This Gemara, of course, is a little bit unsettling because we all forget. And that's only natural. In fact, there's a Gemara that says the Kodesh Baruch Hu specially instilled in the Bria that people should be forgetful, because if people would not forget, they wouldn't forget the sorrow that they had, they couldn't survive. Every time Nebuch, someone passed away, it was a tragedy, person, his family, the person would live with that heartache for the rest of his life, he wouldn't be able to survive. But what it really means to the Mefarshim, that the Tishkach Toris HaLekecha, that either the person consciously decided, I'm not interested, and therefore after finishing learning, okay, if I remember it, don't remember it, it doesn't bother me. Or that the person was, you know, grossly negligent, that he didn't try to review, he didn't try to do something to keep it permanent in his mind and in his heart. Anyway, continue on the Mar Rabbo Omar, my reading Oysa Midulasai, a person who consciously forgets his learning, or causes himself to learn, or is negligent, then not only do his children go into Golus, but also they lower him from his esteemed position. Shemesh says, "What's a kiata hadas moasta? Then oscha mikainli." This is the first part of the same pasuk of the Tishkach Toris HaLekecha. These are both segments of the same pasuk. So, what does it say in that pasuk? Since you were mois means you rejected, you found it repulsive, the das, the Torah Hashem, then oschan, therefore I'm going to reject you, mi kahin li, from continuing to be a kohen. Not, in this case it doesn't mean a kohen, it means a minister, a person of influence, a person of leadership, etc. Very famous Chazal, that when a tzaddik passes away from the world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has created another tzaddik to replace him. Shnema v'zorach hashemesh uvo hashemesh. Actually, kavsa shimshay shel Eli, zorach shimshay shel Shmuel Ramasi. When Eli passed away, and kavsa shimshay, his son was extinguished, son S-U-N extinguished, Zarka Shem 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 Shmuel Aramasi, then the Shemesh, the son of Shmuel Aramasi, began to shine. So when one tzaddik goes away, another tzaddik comes to replace. Hakadosh Baruch Hu saw that the number of tzaddikim from the beginning of time to the end of time will be a relatively small number. Therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu planted them in every generation. Every generation should have at least one or two or three tzaddikim to go be megan on the generation, to have ashpa on the generation. Shinemik says the pasuk of Hashem mitzuki eretz vayoshes aleim tevel. Vayoshes means that Hakadosh Baruch Hu established the tevel based on these tzaddikim by spreading them out in all the generations, so that the world would have a kiyum, would have an existence, would be able to continue. Even for just one tzaddik, the world will exist. One tzaddik is the yesod, is the foundation of the world. This was Reb Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Reb Yochanan. Now Reb Chiya says on his own. I have another pasuk. Ragli chasidav yishmar. Ragli over here, Rashi says, means, like it says in the pasuk by, I believe, by Yaakov Avinu, by Yevorach Hashem oischol lid ragli. So ragli means because of me, in my merit. So ragli chasidav, in the merit of the chasidim, yishmar, there will be a shmira, the world will exist. Now it says chasidav. You said based on one tzaddik, tzaddik is oroila. He was saying it's because of the multiple chasidim yishmar. If you look up the pasuk, you'll see it's missing the final yud. It says chasidois. It's as if it's ragli chasidoy yishmar, because of one chasid, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give shmira to the world. When a person has gone beyond his roiv years, of course it's impossible to know in advance how many years a person is going to live, but you may say Shim Vashana. So if a person has lived, let's say, 36 years, that's 36 majority of 70. So, and if he was able to live all those years lechata and he didn't do a chait, Shim Vashana, then he's mesugal that he's not b'richote. Doesn't mean that this is an ironclad thing, that he's not going to be chote. It means that it's a strong likelihood. In fact, if you see the Toys of Yishonim on the left-hand side on the bottom, the last stickle here, Rag lechasidav yishmar v'yimtoimar, Yoichanan koyin gadol shishimish bekunik gadol l'shmoinim shana. We had in the beginning and back on Daf Tes, that Yoichanan koyin gadol was koyin gadol for 80 years. For the psoif nasa tzadoki, and at the end of his life he became a tzadoki. So you see that even after 80 years, you can go off the derech. Yeshleim devadi imba litame ein liyal lefon of the gamri. Laharvi machrim oisam mikan ve'elech b'lei oma litoer ul hiskadish. Avad, if the person intends, he willfully wants to be metame, in other words, he goes and reads things or does things until he becomes influenced that he now is off the derech, and he does this conscientiously and intentionally, and now in the front of the gamri. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't close the door that he won't be chote. If a person really wants to be chote, Hashem unfortunately allows him to be chote. But harbi machrin oisam mikan veilech. What we try to do is that Kadosh Baruch Hu tries to influence as much as possible that he shouldn't be chote. But if he rebelliously or willfully says, I don't care, no. Avada, unfortunately, is the yetzar in this world, even at the age of 80 or after 80 years of being Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash. Zok the Gemara Vayter.
Even older, because you become a Kohen when you're 30, right? After 5 years of...
And presumably you don't become Kohen Gadol the first day either.
Right, exactly.
He became Kohen Gadol after he was 35 or 40 or 50, and therefore he was already 125 or 135 or whatever. And nevertheless he became a Tzedoki at that time, so... All right, anyway, continuing back in the Gemara, we are now up to three lines to the bottom. When a person has the identical sin hitting him in his face once or twice, and each time is able to miskab in the Yetzirah not to be chote, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him that special protection, he shouldn't be chote the third time. So what does this have to do with two times, three times? So Rashi says that this ragle is related to another. It says, Zesholish Regolem, we find by the Chamor of Bilam, that Bilam hit the chamor two or three times, and the chamor responded and said, "Zeh sholish regolim, why are you hitting me all these times?" So we see that the word regolim over here means times. So getting back to the pasuk, ragli chasidim yishmar, the times of the chasidim will be a shmira for him. So the times that we mean that if one or two times he has been faced with a terrible sin and he's been able to be miskaber on that sin, ragli from loshin liad rab b'shnayim, once or twice, then yishmar will have a special shmira that he shouldn't be chote the third time. Omrish lakish ma'aseh says the pasuk maleitzim hu yaldet falanovim yitain chay. In the Leitzim Uyalis, if a person wants to join the Leitzanim, Leitzanim literally means people that are act like clowns. So, but here it means in a very negative respect. Leitzim, he wants to just engage in frivolous matters as opposed to being involved in Torah and Avodas Hashem. Then Uyalis, we allow him to go and join that group of Leitzim. Lanovim, if a person wants to join the ranks of the righteous, Yitin Chayna Kodesh Baruch Hu will give him assistance. And that's what he wants. If a person wants to go and be a Rasha, he wants to be Matame himself, we leave the door open for him. However, if a person wants to retire himself, he wants to join the Anovim, Messiah is in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, give him special Siyat Deshmai, a special divine help. And he more explains. Person had a store, and in the store he was selling both neft. Neft means a type of kerosene or so, which has
a
terrible stench. And afarzaman is wonderful spices that have a beautiful scent, like perfume. So if a customer comes in, now they didn't sell it like we sell it today with sealed bottles, but a person would bring in his own bottle, and then he would pour the kerosene or the perfume from the pitcher or from the large barrel that the seller had in his store. So when he comes to go and buy neft, Oymaloi says the seller, "You know what? I trust you. You go and pour it out yourself from the barrel into your container. You'll tell me how large the container is and you'll pay me. Fine." In other words, I, the seller, I don't want to touch it, I don't want to get close. But however, if he wants to go and buy perfume, wait for me, I want to go and pour it for you. So that I should also get the side effects of this perfume being poured. Some of it will spill, or some of it, the scent will come up, and it will go on my clothing, it will go on my body. So I'll benefit from this as well. So therefore, that's what Imar is saying is, in the lights of Uyalitz, the seller allows him, "You want to get the neft? Fine, but I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to. You do it on your own. You're points going on. But yeah, yes, you can take." When it comes to do anova, to retire, then yitin chayim, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to participate. Tana Rabbi Shmuel, Avera Metamtemnes Libo Shaladim. A person that does an Avera Chas Hashem that causes what's called Timtum Halev. Timtum in Yiddish is to verstoppen. Verstoppen over here means it stops up. In, like, just like you have too much on your
cholesterol,
too much cholesterol, thank you, which attaches to the walls of your arteries, and then you get some sort of sclerosis or whatever.
Sclerosis.
Exactly. So here too, when you have too much avedus metamtum salev, it causes a timtum alev, it causes a stopping of the heart. Specifically, Rashi says on the top line, metamtemes oitemes besaisemes mikol chachma. It causes the mind. Although we refer to the mind as being the moach, however, in Chazal and even in our tefillahs and even in the psukim, we refer to a lev of chachma, heart of chachma of wisdom. We say every day in Ahava Soilim, the same libeinu bina lahavin lahaskal lishmoil uvin lamed lishmoil lasus elkayim. Same libeinu kodesh baruch hu should place in our heart bina wisdom. So you see that heart is a metaphor, is a reference for wisdom. So a person who does a lot of avedas, kodesh baruch hu stops up all the arteries and the veins and the blood, capillaries or whatever, vessels, etc., that lead from the heart to the rest of the body to give the person chachma. Shneur says, "Possible is tam behem, then it may sembam." So, Pashas that listen tam behem, don't allow yourself to become tamei by eating all the shkatzim and ramasim, all those things which are prohibited. And if you do, then it may sembam, then you are becoming tamei. However, the Gemara says, "I'll take him in it may sem ella unetamtam." And in fact, the Pasuk, the Nitmesim is missing an Aleph, so it can easily be read Unetamtem, a Timtum Aleph. Timtum Aleph means
the tough becomes a test, basically, at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, says in the Pasuk, L'shitam bohem, it may some bum, other metami atzmai ma'atma tam oisei harbe. If a person wants to be metam himself a little bit, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu allows him to be metame a lot. In other words, if you look at the second line from the top of the Rashi, Menichan oisei tamei harbe. If a person is going off the derech and he's going on a path of evil, then we allow him to, without any difficulty. We allow, the doors are open. Unfortunately, he can go really all the way down and roll all the way down into Gehenna. So, if he's metame a little bit, metame oisei harbe. Milmata, metame oisei milmala. Down here, to metame upstairs. Boilmazem, metame oisei lamaba. In other words, stay away from doing evil because it becomes a domino effect. And becomes like a small little ball becomes a major ball and rolls. Exactly. Tanu Rabbanan. Vizkadishim yisim kedoishim. Odom mekadish atzim ma'at. Mekadishim oisei harbe. Oh, so this is the exact reverse of what we were talking about, the tumor. Person wants to mekadish himself. And says the top Rashi. Again, second line, vizkadishim ma'at. If you just mekadish yourself a little bit. Vizim kedoishim harbe. Then the Kodesh Baruch will make sure that you become kedoishim harbe. Lots of kedusha. Habolitayr misayin oisoi. So back to Yimara, to Rabbanan, Kedusha, Yisim, Kedushim, Odom, Mekadosh, Atzim, Ma'at, Mekadosh, and Yisim, Harbe, Kedush, Baruch Hu, gives him plenty of opportunity to become a real Kodesh. Nu, Ma'at, Mekadosh, Yisim, Lamal, Boi, Lamazem, Mekadosh, Yisim, Lamabo, Han, Nalach, Omer, Lehem, Amunah, 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 start the new Perek, Torech, Mekalfi, Mitch, and we continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, Zai, Yemench, Zimmer,